And this is our Queens Club call this month. As y'all know, I just got done coaching over. So some of you may be maybe hitting up a twofer. Let me erase the board. This is open coaching. So in the Queens Club, you get your own special call, which means there's less people wanting a spot. So you guys raise your hand if you want to get coached. And one of the things I wanted to tell you guys is a little bit about some, I think there's some good ideas that I have for how to use the Queens Club site. So you have your own Facebook group that I highly recommend you guys. You know, there's a lot of you in there who are maintaining. There are a lot of you who've lost a lot of weight. Like some of you have lost like 100 pounds and you may even still have 50 to 75 more pounds to go. Some of you are on your last 20. Some of you have lost 25 to 30 and that's about your halfway mark. This is the perfect group to be discussing all of those things. So what I don't want you guys feeling like is like, well, I have only 10 pounds to go, so it's hard for me to talk about it in the Queens Club. Or I have lost 100 pounds and I've got 100 more, so it's hard for me to talk about in this Queens Club. Guys, let's do a model. We have the Queens Club Facebook group. Hard for me to talk about my, I tell you the thought that I find that's very, very used a lot. My weight, my part of the journey, my whatever is unique. My thoughts are unique. My situation is unique, special, these things. This is a hose bag thought. It sounds like it's true. It sounds amazing. Sounds all the things. So when we think my part of the journey is unique and I just need to be with people just like me, guess what you feel? You feel excluded, or you feel special, or you feel unique, or you feel somehow something that doesn't involve inclusive. Okay, so let's go with we feel special, because a lot of times I think that we think that feeling special would be great. It's like, yeah, it feels great if somebody's coming up and giving me a big fat hug off the street. But if you're using it as a way to not talk about your situation, feeling special about it is not super helpful. So when we feel special, our action line is question if we should post. Come up with unique thoughts that don't serve us. So as we're coming up with these unique thoughts that don't serve us and stuff, we're also looking for ways we don't belong. So we're coming up with ways we don't belong. And the result is I'm in a unique hole. You're not getting help. The problem with this thought is it doesn't help you talk about your shit. It doesn't help you find other like-minded people. What it does is it fosters that somehow in weight loss, there are unique wubbies that make it harder for us to lose weight. This is what this is really about. Rather than like saying that like there's nothing special about my situation, there's just thoughts. That's what it really comes down to. There are just thoughts either helping me or there are thoughts that are not helping me with my weight loss right now. It is not because, I'm going to tell you, if you've got 10 pounds to lose, and you think there are thoughts that are unique to you, you are not working on how to lose 10 pounds. If you have lost 100 and you got 100 to go and you think that your situation is unique and it's so much harder and it's all these other things, guess what? You're not working on solutions to get to your goal. That is a thought that will never make fire grow in you. It extinguishes your energy. It extinguishes your community. It starts isolating you. It starts, and that is probably the best thought. My situation is unique. Rather than feeling special, probably feel isolated. We don't get anywhere feeling isolated in weight loss. We have to rely on each other. We have to be here for each other. And the only way that you can feel like you're with like-minded people is you have to post so the other people like you can brainstorm with you. The other people like you can be like, me too. And here's how I handled it. That is how we do it. Okay. And I just wanted to cover that because I think that like you guys could use Queen's Club even more than you do. It is not just like, yay, I'm here. And then we don't do anything. It's like you've been looking for a smaller group of people who are, you know, pretty much doing the basics. And if y'all aren't doing the basics, at least you know them. You don't have a lot of questions about them. You know they work. Just got to get back to them. And that is what I want you doing over there. Work, work, work. All right. Raise your hand if you would like to get coached. Joy, since you this is the second call I've seen you on, I'm calling on you. You had your hand up last time.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I was just looking at camp photos. I have to sort like through all the photos and stuff for Sadie. And there was a picture of Tall Tribe and Logan sitting outside having a combo.
Yes, the prince. Yes, my buddy.
All right, so what are we coaching on?
I enjoyed your last call earlier today. There was so much, I'm calling this Judgment Sunday because it was all about judgment, that last call.
Yes.
And that's actually my question. So I heard you a few weeks ago tell someone, until you solve for judgment, basically like, you got to solve for judgment first.
Oh yeah.
So that kind of set my brain on fire and I've been working on that.
Okay.
But I have some questions.
Yeah.
So when I first heard you say that, I actually thought, well, I don't really have a problem with judgment. And then I started noticing when I was doing models, I would write my first thought, but my second thought, like I would write down the first sentence, but the second sentence was always a judgment.
Yeah.
Always. Every single time. And I didn't really like the tone of it. Like it was, my first step was just to notice.
Mm-hmm.
And you saying solve for judgment is what made me notice it.
Yeah.
Where I'm feeling a little stuck is kind of what to do with it from there.
So what thoughts are you noticing?
They're all pretty condemning. So like,
well, there's a judgment. All,
yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm telling you, it's, I don't like what I feel like I've uncovered.
That's the problem though. That's
yeah, I know.
The poison thought. I don't like what I've uncovered.
Right.
When we don't like that is one of the ones that we have to really start working on because it's like, why do you care if you like it or not? First of all, if it's just,
because I feel like if it's there, I feel like it being there is not good because I feel like I could, here's how I judge him. If anybody in my Marco Polo group said that about themselves, would I allow them to say that? And I wouldn't let that fly. Like I would call them out and I would never talk that way to anyone in my Marco Polo group.
Okay.
So I don't like that that's the way I'm talking to myself.
But you don't have to not like the way you're talking to yourself. You can just call yourself out and just say, hey, that's not useful.
Okay.
You don't have to have emotional stuff like I don't like that.
Okay.
Like you're talking about it as if it hurts your feelings. Like I almost have a sense that you want to cry about it. I don't know if you do, but it's coming across in a way that I can tell is painful versus just like, would you want to cry if one of your Marco Polo people said, you know, like, oh, that was a dumb thought or that'll never get me anywhere. Would you be like,
no,
you don't say that anymore.
No, but I would tell them like, that's not like, I would call people out for that, you know, and
call yourself out for it without judging yourself. Here's the difference. Call yourself out like I do. That's not going to help. And you move on rather than that's not going to help. Oh my God, I can't believe I think that way. I'm going to have to really work on this judgment thing. This is really going to hold me back. And do you see where, like, what that does is it doesn't put your mind focused on where you want to go.
So then is the goal to replace those judgmental thoughts or just to acknowledge them and move past them?
Here's the way I like to do it. I just like to acknowledge the fuck out of what I'm thinking and like move on. And eventually what happens is if those thoughts don't get a lot of traction, you start naturally thinking something different. Like, I think that one of the things that I'm really going to focus on teaching you guys is that just noticing your unintentional models and being okay with them usually is all you really have to do. You can have an intent, like you can say, like, when you're doing your models, be like, and this is like, you know, I could probably think about it like this. It anchors your brain to new perspective. But all we're really trying to do is break the tie that this is true. That's really all we have to do. Once that happens, once you keep redirecting and saying, oh yeah, that's not useful. That's old programming. That's just something that I just choose not to think anymore. I wouldn't let my Marco Polo game get away with it. So I won't let joy get away with it either. And when we take it down a notch and we're just like taking authority over it, we don't need to be like, oh, I need to find my new positive thought. You know, I know if this one sticks around, somehow that's going to hose me and stuff like that. It only hoses you if you let it go unchecked.
Okay.
And that's why I say you got to work on the judgment, because when you're judging it, you're basically letting it go unchecked. You're being like, that's a terrible thought. That's really going to stop me. That's going to do all these things. It's like, it doesn't do anything unless you just let it go. I mean, smell it.
Okay. That makes sense. I think I've been looking for like this big replacement thought to all these.
You can come up with some if you want to. Just don't expect them to come automatically.
Yeah, they don't.
No, they don't. Because you're used to judging your thoughts. And you are used to judging them very subtly.
Right.
Like it wasn't even on your radar. You know, some people like will come on the call and know they're doing it. They're like, you know, they give me like the last call, they give me thousands of, you know, things that they think, and they know they're in judgment land. Some of us just suddenly throw shade. I do that. I am a very subtle judgment thrower at myself. I will say things like, you know, and it's so stupid to think, you're not going to believe what I'm thinking. Like I'll say things like that in talking and I'll be like, oh shit, that's that judgment crap again. I should probably just say, here's my thought rather than here's the dumb thing I've been thinking. It's just,
I think
in awareness and take the language down some.
Okay.
That's it. Most of us start feeling better for that one reason, because we're not saying all this other stuff.
Yes. I could see that. I think if I just move forward and just like notice it, dismiss it, move on, swat it away, move on. I've been trying to like litigate against it. I'm just like exhausted.
It's exhausting to argue. Arguing, nobody ever says, I'm so exhilarated. I spent a whole day arguing with myself. No one said that ever. That's why lawyers come home very tired when they have to like litigate like cases all day.
Yeah.
Arguing's hard. Stop doing
right.
it.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. That's it.
This is the other thing I just want to say.
Yeah.
All thoughts are useful, even the negative ones.
Yeah.
We don't like to believe that, but every thought is useful. Every single thing you do, every single thing you think is just your brain saying, pay attention. I got something for you. Next level work right here, baby. Most of us think it's like keeping us from where we're going. And that's just your brain's way of saying the next level work is right here on a platter. Are you ready?
Okay. Well, I like that. That makes me excited.
It's a lot easier to work on stuff that's the next level rather than the stuff that's holding me back.
Yeah. I really like that. I'm writing it down. Yeah, I like that.
All right. It's good.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye. That's a good one. Emily Rose. I love your name. You sound so, oh my gosh. Last night, y'all, Chris and I were watching the UT Kentucky game, and there was a guy named Cavassier Smoke on the team. And I was fascinated with that name, and I begged Logan to let me call him Cavassier Smoke for a whole day. And he was like, okay.
I love that.
That child, I don't even know how he lets me be his mother. All right, what can I help you with?
So I'm really glad you started it with that model, because that is exactly where my brain is right now. So that was really helpful. So I just got a kind of health diagnosis. I was just diagnosed with Crohn's disease.
Okay.
And I've been dealing with for years, and then I finally have a label to it.
Okay.
But one of the things that's happening is my brain is just throwing so many tantrums right now with that. And I've been TDLing the heck out of everything. And the main thing that I would say I'm struggling with right now is I'm in a flare, I guess. And everything is that my normal life, quote unquote normal life, is more challenging now. And I've had to make a lot of adjustments. And that I feel like I'm being slowed down by this, and I'm raging against the Crohn's like it's this enemy, you know.
And I'm raging against Crohn's disease.
Yes. And that's not very helpful. So, yeah, definitely losing weight. That's something that's happening.
Yeah, but
it's not.
I want you to enjoy your weight loss, not have your weight loss be because you're raging against Crohn's disease.
Right.
That feels like shit. Why are you taking shits?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, like you probably have enough of that going on without loading up an extra diaper for yourself.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
How do you want to think about Crohn's disease? I mean, you have it.
Yeah.
You don't have to like it every single second, but do you have to like be all down the path?
No. I mean, the thought that I keep bringing myself to is I'm trying to serve my body and in whatever state it's in, but that feels a little too positive almost.
Right? Yeah. Hey, tell me some honest thoughts about it. Like, when you have a flare-up.
I'm pissed off.
And why?
Because I'm spending my day a lot of times in a lot of pain that I don't know how to control at all at this point, except for to not eat. That's the only thing I know that.
So you do know how to control it?
Yeah, just not eating.
But that is, I mean, this is the thing. Telling yourself, I don't know how to control it when you do, for now.
Yeah.
I've got this one method that's working. I just don't eat on this day. And I'm going to be in a lot of pain. I'm getting used to this. I'm figuring this out. Like, there's ways to talk about it. And then there's pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to, you don't need to be like, oh, Crohn's disease is lovely. This is where I'm at. I don't think you need that. But I think you need to be like, of course, some days I'll be upset, but it'll be because of how I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Of course, as I'm getting used to this, I may feel confused because I'm still figuring it out. Like, I think working with your thoughts that you have now versus trying to go to, here's my intentional model. I need to be in a beautiful place with my Crohn's disease and all this other stuff. You can be in a beautiful place with your Crohn's disease and in pain by just being, I'm going to be compassionate with myself. I don't have to love it right now. I may never love it, but I also don't have to make it so miserable either for myself.
Yeah, that's it. It does feel a little, I feel like I'm making it extra miserable for myself right now. So it's helpful to just think of it as, okay, here's, because I feel like I've just been taking it different subjects, like different areas of my life that it's affecting, and then TDLing about that, and then trying to say, okay, well, that's my thought on that. And I feel like that's as far as I've been able to get with it.
I think you have a problem thought that you haven't caught yet.
Okay.
It's affecting these areas of my life.
Yeah.
What if we we just decided Crohn's disease doesn't get to affect any area of our life? That my thinking will always be the effect.
I'm going to have to listen to that a few times.
You will have to, but you're going to have to think about that. I want you to really think about this. Tell me how Crohn's disease is affecting your life. It's just Crohn's disease at this point. It's a neutral. This is, I think, the problem you're running into. This is not neutral for you yet. It's Crohn's disease is bad. Crohn's disease affects my life is your circumstance right now. And I'm saying it's Crohn's disease and your most pervasive thought is, and it's affecting my life.
Yeah. Yep.
It doesn't get to affect your life until you start raging against it.
Yeah. Okay.
Until you start getting confused that you don't know how to handle it. That's where Emily is affecting it, her life. I think you just being in the, like, I just can't imagine that that thought is ever going to be one that gets you traction. Like staying in the space of, I have Crohn's disease and I am in charge of how I think about it.
Okay.
And then make conscious decisions. Like on the days I'm in a lot of pain, I want to have compassion for myself that it's okay to not like this. On the days that, you know, I don't go to work because of my Crohn's disease, it's not because of the Crohn's disease. It's because this is a day I know I need to stay home. I'm affecting my life. The more you take ownership of it, the less it gets to own you, the less you need to rage against it.
Yeah. That makes sense. I feel like I haven't integrated it as part of me yet. And it's like a separate thing, but it isn't a separate thing. That's the next work. So I'll have to listen to this a few times, I feel like, for it to really.
I think one interesting exercise you can do, like when you listen to this, is write, like give yourself several different scenarios. Like when I have flare-ups, when it's a good day, like when I'm not having a flare up, when I have to miss work, when, like, think of your different things that you think it affects. So come up with those situations and then write, don't just try to do models, really write about those, like how you think about it now, and then take an honest look at it. Don't rush through this process. Take like a week or two.
Okay.
Do them one at a time and then write about it and then go back and say, Is this going to allow me to show up best for myself? This combination of thinking around it, because that's all you'll be writing. It'll literally be all of your thoughts about it. Allow yourself to believe all of it's just thoughts.
Okay. Okay.
And then you get to decide if you want to change it or not. You can still keep raging. Like raging and confusion will always be right there for you. I think that's one of the things that I want you guys to understand, especially in Queen's Club, is that sometimes when we have you rewrite things or question things or whatever, I just want you to open your brain up to the idea that there's a whole different line of thinking and life available to you. And it's there for whenever you want to go towards it. But for now, you may want to stay here. But just know that that's there. That's such an up level in your thinking. It requires you to challenge yourself. It allows you to believe something else could be true. And sometimes you can sit with that for 6 months and then all of a sudden you're like, I just want that to be true now. Like, I'm done with this one. I have burned my wheels out on it. I'm ready to move on now. And you'll know. Okay.
Okay. That's helpful.
All right.
Thank you.
This should be up by tomorrow.
Keep watching it.
Yes, Sadie has promised me that she's working tonight. She's off this afternoon. And she's like, I am loading your stuff because everybody freaked out when you were gone for 7 whole days. I was like, I know. Like, we only have like 4,000 recordings.
Not like Netflix or anything, you know? past episodes. Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll get it up tonight. All right. Bye.
Corinne. Bye.
Angie.
Video.
Hey, Angie.
Hi there. Can you?
Yes, I can see you and I can hear you.
Awesome. So I have a question about headaches because I've noticed an increase. I have a history of migraines, like particularly related to stress and periods and things, but I've always used birth control to kind of just manage them with my doctor and things like that. But what I started noticing this summer was I was getting like a marked increase. And so I've got my data here. I'm down 70 pounds since January. I joined in April. Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm 0.6 pounds from Century Club. So I'm like really, really excited. But I started tracking my data on my headaches because I got 8 in August, I got 6 in September, 9 last month, one of them because I walked into a metal pole, so that doesn't really count. And I've had 2 so far this month. So, but I'm just curious. I asked my primary care, and I have an appointment tomorrow with my OBGYN, but I was like, you know, could like a dramatic weight loss, like would that impact my hormones and be because they are often hormone? He said, well, yes. The more fat your body has, like the more estrogen your body is going to produce. But I'm just curious, like, you know, have you had other tribe members that have, you know, like weight loss, you know, hormone, and also like, will it level out and things like that?
I've never heard of this, to be honest. Okay. And I've heard a lot.
Yeah.
This I've not. I will say just from a coaching perspective.
Yeah.
I would really watch trying to tie this to your weight loss because if you don't like the headaches,
yeah,
you're more likely to gain the weight back to solve for the headache.
Oh yeah. No, like I totally don't want that to happen.
Yeah. So I would like watch trying to make a connection between that and weight loss. I would probably, if I was you, exhaust every other method. Like if your doctor can't definitively say it's your weight loss, then I just wouldn't even believe that. Like I would just
Okay. So yeah. Well, my first thought was, oh, okay, I'm 43, you know, like I could be approaching perimenopause, like maybe my hormone, which is why I have the OBGYN appointment tomorrow, but
okay.
Open coaching with you is today, not day after tomorrow, right? So I was like, I want to get your perspective. Are you talking primary care? I started tracking, I looked for food triggers, you know, I've gone one day I know this, and this is the other part I wanted to talk to you about is one. I don't like, I will get headaches before I get like rumbling tummy hunger signals. Right. And so I think that's probably past the -2, but,
maybe start eating a little earlier.
Well, yeah. One day I was like, wow, I like worked my, I wasn't hungry. And then when I, you know, and then I was driving and I didn't have a snack really available. And then, so by the time I got home, I had a headache, which quickly turned into migraine. And so now I'm backpedaling, trying to like deal with headache plus migraine symptoms. Probably. And things, but most of them I think are hormone.
I'm perimenopause and I'm 45 and mine started about that age, like around 42, 43 is when.
Yeah, it seems plausible.
And I will tell you just from my own personal medical stuff, I do I had never had headaches in my life. Really. I mean, my mom's had them all her life. I was just blessed to not have them since I've hit my 40s. I have headaches. I've never had but one migraine, and that was in my 20s, and I've never had another one. So I don't know about the migraine, but it could be hormonal. I would for sure have all that checked out. I mean, I think you do the right thing. Your thought pattern is, I'm going to figure it out. What I would do is track your headaches according to your food, but not the specific foods you're eating, but make sure you're writing down the times you eat and how much time is in between meals, and just see if maybe you need to eat a little sooner.
Yeah.
Like really try to not wait until a headache. So like how long between meals can you go that you typically go?
I'm normally having breakfast around 7:30 AM. I'm a teacher. So like that's actually on my list of things that I might bring up to you. So I'm a teacher. So I have, and historically I was just like a by the clock eater, you know, like pretty much like I eat at this time. I have to have lunch at this time because I'm a teacher. And then dinner, it was just like when I got home and made it or whatever, and then I would snack all in between. So this whole like paying attention to my own hunger signals, all that real new to me, like, okay. And something that I really have, I feel like I I'm naturally, like, when we're having family dinner, let's say in the evening, like, I naturally can detect when I'm approaching plus two. I don't have any drama in my brain around it. I'm able to push the plate away. I often have bites left on my plate and all that. But breakfast, okay, so your question was, I got off track.
So you eat at 7:30, and then do you eat lunch?
7:30 a.m. Lunch is right around noon, 12:30 somewhere. So that's, like, what, 5-6 hours?
Hmm? But you do eat. You're not, like...
Oh yeah, I eat
because you're not hungry.
Yeah, because no, I am my breakfasts now are much smaller than they used to be. Like, I'm a typical breakfast right now is either like a small smoothie or like a yogurt with some granola on top, and that's pretty much. I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't drink tea. I drink exclusively water. My calories are much less in the morning. And then because I want to make sure that I'm hungry at lunchtime because I have to eat at a certain time.
When do you typically get migraines and headaches?
They often are kicking in around 2 p.m. when I'm at work, when I'm helping the afternoon teacher.
What do you eat at lunch usually?
I often have either salad or like part of last night's leftovers. It's pretty much every once in a while a sandwich, but mostly salad or leftovers from
night. Do you feel like you're getting plenty of fat in your diet?
I add avocado a lot. I cook with olive oil.
But I mean, like, that's very little.
Oh, that's very little?
Everybody thinks that it's like, well, I eat like a half an avocado.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a lot of fat.
Oh, I felt like that was. And I eat full fat dressing. I switch back to 4% milk, you know.
I just worry about your yogurt in the morning and your smoothie. How much fat is in that?
I haven't checked. I can check.
Probably not much. Are you using full fat on both, or is it just like a low fat yogurt, or what is it?
I'm doing Greek yogurt. I don't know. I think they're full fat.
Okay.
I can look though.
I almost wonder if you would just beef your breakfast up just a little bit. Just try it for a couple of weeks.
Sure.
Add some fat to your breakfast and see what happens.
Okay.
Like just some nuts, even like just something else in there.
Uh-huh.
See if that helps. But I just think for you, check the hormones and do all that kind of stuff. If you're triggering a headache every day at 2 or a lot of days at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, a couple days a week, yeah.
I would track these several things. Is number one is just try adding a little bit more fat to your breakfast.
Okay.
Number two is do you get plenty of water during the day? I know teachers notoriously don't drink a lot of water.
It was hard for me. I mean, I had to work. It took me like 3 months, but I'm between 80 and 100 ounces every day. So
okay,
I feel
so
like
I'm not worried about that. I just want to make sure that wasn't going on too.
Mm-hmm.
What about your stress levels?
Stress can be a trigger for headaches. I looked back at all my TDLs and stuff, and you know, half the times I have headaches, it was a stressful day, and half the time it wasn't. So I don't feel like it can be a factor. But it's not, and I'm right now, I feel like I'm the least stressed that I've been in probably the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. So,
I'm working out regularly
to help me manage one of the days that I am, you know, I do yoga and stuff like that. So
I think there's a couple of things, just those two things I asked, working on stress levels consistently, you know, just to see if that's a trigger, checking out those hormones. I just don't think it's your weight loss that's done it.
Okay. That's the only thing that's changed from 2 years ago, 3 years ago is, I mean, well, that's not true because I lost weight 3 years ago and then gradually put it back on. So.
Yeah. And that didn't cause headaches. I wonder if it's just being
Cause an increase in headaches.
I'm just wondering if it's just being in your 40s.
Well, I mean, I've never been in my 40s before.
That's
about looking. Huh? I haven't been 43 before, right? So.
Well, and that's one of the things where you're like, nothing else has changed. It's like, your age has changed.
Age has changed.
Yeah, there's things totally that have changed, you know.
I asked my mom, I said, I was trying to ask her, and, you know, she can't remember exactly what age, but, you know, I was trying to pump her for info.
Have you tried posting this in the Facebook group to see if this has happened with anybody else?
I have considered it. I did look for videos and I found, you know, people blaming migraines for eating and things, but I didn't, as far as I can post it.
I would actually post and just say,
okay.
I would do it in the Queen's Club.
Okay.
Say, watch my video and has anybody experienced this and see what happens.
Okay. Totally.
So
I'll do that.
They get the context of what we're talking about. You put it in the main
tab,
they're all going to be a shit show of all kinds of shit. You know, it's like, these people will watch the video and know what you're talking about. The other thing that I would do that is not going to help the headache is just develop a relationship with it that you want. Mm. So when I get headaches, I just want to be like easy with myself and understand this might just be part of my process for getting older.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, like everybody's going to have something happen, you know?
Yeah. I had a TDL on because the one day I came home with a headache and I was supposed to go, I joined a line dancing class, super fun on Tuesday nights. And I was really irked that I was going to have to miss this class. And I was like in my bed with the hot pack on my eyes. And I was like, okay, what? And I was like, I could hear your voice a little bit in my head. And I was like, what do I need right now? What I need right now is to rest, eat, sleep, and get rid of this headache. I don't, you know, and I had like talked myself into like, it's okay to skip the class that you really want to go to because, you know, anyway, so I am learning to like, you know, prioritize the self-care above the other goals. You know, that's still, I think I'm still not learning. I mean, it's probably forever, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah. I just think that having a relationship with it, being compassionate with yourself, so that's going to be the best thing that you can do for yourself at this time. And then continue to get it checked out by doctors and stuff. And maybe just adding that little bit of fat to see if
I can try.
Wonder if sometimes it's just, you know, I don't know. I don't even know if that's going to do much for you, but it's worth to try. Try it for a couple of weeks. If you don't get any headaches and you added some fat, then just keep going and see what happens. But I almost bet you it's, I would love to know what you're like, post it in the Queen's Club. I'd love to know what your OBGYN says.
Okay. Yeah. I have that appointment tomorrow. So I'll do that.
I'm just going to tell you, my whole body has changed since I've been in my 40s. I'm like, what happens in your 40s? Because I have headaches. I've never got headaches. I like to go to bed at like 7:30 now. I have periods that look like I'm being bludgeoned. I mean, it's just like 40s have not been kind. They came in like a bitch. So working with it, but still, it's just sometimes you just, it's just part of the price of getting older too, you know?
Right. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you very much. I posted up in your request the other day on Facebook. I had put a side by side, and when I did that, I was like, "Oh my word!" Like I hadn't, you know. I mean, you do see a picture of yourself, but when you put them side by side and stuff like that, so this is the tools I'm learning here are exactly what I just couldn't figure out on my own. So I'm super glad I found you.
Well, thank you. Well, good luck to the doctor tomorrow.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, that's a new one for me, man. Thea. Well, let's see. Well, Thea's not coming on. Let's try Lily.
How are you doing?
Hello, Lily.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, there it goes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
How can I help you?
I first had a call with Kathy back in July in order to get me to figure out how to proceed forward for a surgery. Now I've had surgery, and part of the recovery is having a liquid diet for 6 weeks.
Okay.
Which sounds fine. So I am in need of some latter thoughts to get me a little farther.
My liquid diet?
Yes.
Okay.
My circumstance is in the past 10 days, I've lost 7.5 pounds, which sounds great. But at the same time, my fear is when I actually have to introduce foods back that I'm not going to be able to maintain weight loss.
Probably not, but that's okay, right?
Right. It's before the liquid diet, it would take a little bit longer to lose this amount of weight. It would usually take me a month or a little bit longer. And now it's happening so rapidly in regards to my previous weight loss that I'm worried I'm not progressing fast enough in my healing, as well as I'm not going to be able to maintain weight loss after I introduce foods back.
Well, what is important?
Important for me is being healthy in the weight loss, as well as healthy in, with these new modifications that I had for the surgery.
So what if healthy is when you reintroduce foods, you gain a little of the weight back and you do it in a healthy way and then it stabilizes and you start losing again.
it makes sense, but my brain hasn't jumped onto that yet.
Why do you think your brain hasn't jumped there yet?
When before the surgery, I would have a lot more off-plan eats. Now I'm not allowed to because I will have severe complications.
Right.
When I'm off of this.
That's not why you're not having off-plan eats. That's your.
You don't think so?
Oh, I know so.
Okay.
All right. Why? Let's do it this way.
Okay.
I'm going to show you some magic. This is how it always works. No off-plan eats is way down here in the model. And up here is liquid diet. And let's see, if you eat whole food, if you eat real food, what, like you'll shit your pants or vomit?
Probably.
Yeah.
If I try introducing any foods right now, then I end up having it come right back up. So
whole food makes me vomit.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of surgery did you have? Just, I know everybody's like, why is she on a damn liquid diet? Like, just so everybody knows that you're not on some liquid diet. Like, what are we on it for?
I had a lot of heartburn, so I had GERD, and so I had a hiatal hernia repair, as well as a Nissan fundoplication, which they take the top of your stomach and they wrap it around your esophagus to eliminate stuff coming back up for aspirin.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that everybody in the room is like, is Corinne really going to let her get away with a liquid diet? There will be somebody who will be thinking, I think Corinne is overcoached for the day. She's totally missed out. All right. So now that we all know that Corinne still is smart, liquid diet, whole food makes me vomit, way down here, no off-plan eats. Why are we eating? Why are we just drinking the liquid and not eating food?
My thought is if I eat food, that I will be sick.
I choose not to do this.
That's a good one.
That's the one you've got to remind yourself every single time. Right now, the reason why you're so worried about some weight gain,
mm-hmm.
is because you think this is getting all the credit for everything that's happening right now.
Okay.
You're giving Lily no credit. Gotcha. I'm just sitting here not eating the food. The liquid diet is like food police. He stands there and he swear to God, he's going to whip my ass if I eat some food. No. There okay. are people, I promise you, Lily, who have had this surgery, who will want an Oreo so bad, they'll eat it and vomit.
Oh, jeez.
Right, but that's not you.
Okay.
It is just like all the moms here who will say the reason why they, carpool their kids is because they have to, because they've got sports. It's like, no, because you're one of the moms that will do that. They take no credit for it. They give it all to the sports that the kids have signed up for. Or the mom that, will not go to the gym because her infant has a blowout diaper and is sick. Be like, well, the only reason why I'm not going to the gym is because I'm a lazy ass. It's like, no, because you're the kind of mom who loves her kid enough to prioritize her child. It's all in how we think about it. We get to perceive our action line any way we want to. And right now, your thought is the diet's making me do it, rather than saying, hey, I'm the one that's always in charge of what I put in my mouth. And right now, I'm choosing to put that liquid diet in. And then when they tell me that I can start eating foods, I will still be in charge. Just like when you were like, I don't care what, were you a binger? Were you an overeater? Or
I was definitely a binger and sometimes overeat.
Yeah. So when you were a binger, you made that choice every single time too. Like when you take ownership of all of it, it's so much easier to be the owner and to be the one in control and the one making choices. So your job for the next 6 weeks is to be like I'm the one who chooses what I eat always, even right now. And when I go back to Whole Foods, I will still be the one in charge. And I'm proving to myself for this 6 weeks that I can make a choice. I mean, would you like to eat some real food?
Oh, yeah. I would love to have mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving, but that's definitely not happening.
Yeah. So think about this. So think about this. For the next 6 weeks, you are going to have so many urges to eat real food and you're going to choose not to do it.
Okay.
Every single time, right? Because you don't want to vomit.
Right.
Like, but I want you to make the connection that like you're having food urges that you are now not responding to. That means that you can have food urges when you reintroduce food, you can still not respond to them.
Oh, holy crap. Oh my God.
Like this call right here is the cost of everybody's admission.
Oh, thank you. That actually makes me feel a lot better because that means, yeah, I am learning something. I am in charge and I am choosing to not. Oh my God. Okay. I appreciate it because that.
You're so welcome.
That got me a lot farther. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And good luck. I know that this is probably not the most fun thing you've ever done. There's that. All right. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye. Anna. I'm just rifling through you.
Can you hear me?
Girls today. I can hear you, and I believe I'm fixing to see you too.
Let's see. Can you see me?
I can. All right. What are we coaching on?
Well, I, by the way, I wanted you to know I'm 55 years old and I've gone through a lifetime in my late 40s and 50s of being told to be really happy to lose half a pound a week. And I do your program, lady, and I lost 30 pounds.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. And I lost my first 20 so fast. I went to the doctor and said, there's something very wrong with me. Check me out.
First of all, so grateful. I would like everyone to look at her face and be like, can we all age like her?
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to pay a lot of money to age this way.
You know what? The thing is give up the sugar and the flour and okay. Inflammation goes away and everything changes. And that was huge. You taught me that. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
So I'm on my last 15 and I've been on my last 15 for a year now.
Okay.
It's been a to and fro process. And I've recently done something that really helped me a lot. And I want to see if you can kind of help me get down the road a little further. And that is that I looked at my past, at my history, at my story, and I rewrote my story.
Oh, good.
By doing that, it was huge. It was so empowering and freeing. And not only did I lose my my little chubby girl mentality of all my life and the guilt and the shame that went along with that, but I saw myself as the athlete that I've always been and the love of sports and love of outdoors and love of nurturing myself. And I lost people pleasing along the way.
Oh, good.
And that was huge for me. Yeah. That was huge. Yeah. Okay. So now I'm at 149 today and I want to get to 134 pounds. Okay. And I found that the way that my brain, the way that I'm thinking, I enjoy the smaller goal 7 days at a time versus the larger goal.
Okay.
I also have a history of self-sabotage. And so as I'm focused on my 134, I'm focused on my 2 to 3 pounds a week. And I'm focused on looking at food as an athlete. Food nourishes me and feeds me in a way that my body rebounds and grows, and I look forward to more challenges. But what else can I do? What's out there? How can you help me with your experience to get to my last 134? I'm going to print out your holiday packet. I was listening to it the other day and I love the different worksheets that are in there. So I'm going to be doing that.
Well, tell me this. Why aren't you 134 now?
Because I have not been consistent. That's exactly why. Because
okay, so where every is the inconsistency?
The inconsistency is that I was giving power to food, and I'll give you a perfect example. Since late October, before Halloween, I was awesome on my protocol, super, super dialed in and doing great and losing weight little by little by little. And then including through Halloween, I didn't have a lick of sugar. I was so happy. So proud is the word. And then last Friday night, my husband and I and another couple went to dinner at a restaurant that I was really excited about because the food there is fabulous. But I wanted to not make it a joy, and I wanted to.
Why?
Because I had just been on my in my groove. I'd just been doing my thing so well.
What if a joy eat doesn't get you out of your groove?
Yeah, I guess that's where
they don't get you out of your groove. You do know this, right?
Well, I'll tell you, when I will do a joy eat, mm-hmm. the thoughts start to float around in my head like little balloons of, come on, you deserve that.
Right.
Oh, it's been a rough day. You deserve that. Yeah.
Yeah. But all that's of those not thoughts. Joy doing it.
No, it's not. It's afterwards. And what I think is, I wonder if when the sugar comes back in my body or the flour comes back in my body, my hormones start to go off a little. One meal won't do that.
That's like the easy way out of taking responsibility for deciding to keep on going when you just know you need to get back on plan.
Okay.
A lot of people love to do that.
Okay. So have thoughts in my pocket.
Going around here. It's my hormone.
A little blame? Mm. Okay.
Joy eat, blaming joy eats. We're setting ourselves up for fear. Like, there's nothing to be scared of with sugar and flour.
Okay. I'm giving them power, huh?
Yeah. And you know what they are?
Hmm.
A circumstance.
Okay.
Sugar and flour. Just sitting up here. Ain't doing nothing to nobody in the whole wide world. Been like, good Lord, I've been around since Jesus. They have. They didn't become evil until we decided they were evil a few years ago. What if they're just not anything but sugar and flour? And it's just going to be like, you know what? I think I want to include it in a joy meal. And I'm probably going to want some more. And I know that I'm going to have thoughts about it. And I will be getting back on plan, and that's okay too. I don't have to think that, oh, see, this is self-sabotage. This kind of goes back to what I was talking about I don't know if you watched the last call, if you watched the noon call. I hope to God none of y'all have been with me for 3 hours at this point. I'm just like, I hope y'all are food prepping at least. Watch the call when it comes up.
Okay.
A lot of judgment basically going on here. There's like blame for my actions and judgment over some things.
Oh, good. So I will watch that previous call.
Yeah, it's really good. I at least coached 3 people on this, not sugar and flour, but just judgment in general and being aware of our thinking in the little ways. So I think you're like one of the people who's done so well. And then you have these subtle things that are going to like hose you and like wanting to lose 2 to 3 pounds per week. And the last 15.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know, but I'm telling myself things like, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do a little bit at a time. And I write in my journal every day. I keep a journal, and then I do a thought download, and then my models. And I write down that I'm eating this elephant one bite at a time. And that it like works for me just a little bit of today. I'm going to make great choices today. And then tomorrow, I'm going to make great choices.
Yeah, I think that is an amazing thought, but it results in making good choices. It does not result in 2 to 3 pounds.
Okay.
I would just love to know why you need to be losing 2 to 3 pounds per week at 149 pounds. That's fast.
Okay. I'm going to tell you why. Because I did the exercise with the 3 little circles before. And I found that that was just what my body did.
When I was cranking it. For the first 30?
Yeah.
This is the last 15. This does not mean weight loss gets harder, but as a percentage, weight loss changes. I mean, as a percentage, it stays the same. So this is like when someone has like 100 pounds to lose. Like that first couple weeks, they lose like 6 or 8 pounds very often. But as you get smaller, you're still losing the same percentage of your overall body weight, but the number you actually lose per week gets smaller. It's the math of it.
Okay, so you think I'd have changed my expectation from 2 to 3 pounds to just losing weight?
I think you should focus more on your relationship with your food and your relationship with what you're doing. So, like, I think you can still set a goal for 134. I don't think there's any problems with it. But I would be questioning, what's the rush? Like, let me just do the math for you super fast.
Sure.
I'm terrible at math.
Me too.
We're going to lose 3 pounds divided by 134. That's 2%. And how much did you used to weigh? Like 180?
180.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So 3 pounds. Oops. Y'all, and if I'm doing my math wrong, well, somebody just tell me, because I know that somebody who's a math nerd is sitting there making fun of me and rolling around in the floor. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm doing this math wrong. It's just a diff 3 divided by 180 is what I'm looking at. Is 0.1%. So what you're essentially expecting your body to do, it was losing 1%, and now you want it to lose 2%.
So it's not at all rational.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, give me some thoughts. To question, to journal and contemplate on my relationship with food, please.
I would do a thought download on what you think sugar and flour, your thoughts about sugar and flour.
Okay.
Why you choose it? I mean, I think you've got some really good reasons. You obviously, it's inflammation, it's these things. Mm-hmm. But also, mm-hmm. you need to, come up with your relationship with it. Like, so far in this call, a couple of the things you've said is it triggers thoughts, it whacks my hormones. Mm-hmm. I need to say whack, that's more my language. But
you know what I'm saying.
It has those things. And I just want you to question those things. Like, is that mm-hmm. going to serve me? Is it going to make me afraid of sugar and flour? Or is it going to make me feel in control? Because I think what you're really wanting to do is just feel in control. When we're inconsistent, one of the things we want to do is we want to feel in control. So are some of your thoughts lining up? If you're going to do no sugar, no flour as a lifestyle, are they lining up with feeling in control and feeling consistent? And look for the ones that don't drive that energy. So if they're not driving that energy, those are the thoughts to really question and to kind of flip your brain a little bit.
Okay.
Because I'm not saying give up sugar and flour. That's not what not do that anymore. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying mm-hmm. I want you to have such an amazing relationship with it that when you plan to have an exception or a joy, that you're not afraid and you're thinking that it's making you do things. That it sets you up for eating more. It's like, no, nothing. It's just like our last girl. You know, the liquid diet doesn't set her up to be consistent. The liquid diet is a choice she's making because that's what she wants to do. She wants to deny that urge. Just like, I'm going to have an exception, and everything I eat outside that exception is me just deciding. It's not the sugar and flour that's causing me to have thoughts. It's the sugar and flour happens. I have thoughts, and it's my job to decide, is this outdated thinking that needs to be that I need to insert my new thinking that sugar and flour can't make me do anything.
Okay.
Does that help at all?
A ton, because I do feel out of control with sugar and flour. I do fear it. I know if I were to start just journaling, that's what I would see. Because I always know. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, when I do have sugar and flour, I do fear that path that will follow then. It is fear, and fear is not having control over it.
And I think this is your next level work. It's like, okay, I've adopted this lifestyle and mm-hmm. I love it for so many reasons, but I don't want, I want to make the best relationship I can. It'd be like being married to an amazing man, but there's just a couple of little things I'm really afraid of with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We want to work on that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations on all your work. And just the other thing I would have you examine is that 2 to 3 pounds, just being like, you know what? What if it just, it's all about me now? working on feeling always in control, being super consistent, make your goals more consistency based, being able to have exceptions and they just end when the meal ends, managing my thoughts around it, that kind of stuff. I really think if you work on that, the weight will just start coming off and you will feel so much better on your emotional journey to the 134 too.
Okay. I like that. Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you
very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, Permie. You'll be the last one. Let's see. Did you get your video? Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. So last Queen Club, well, like when I was on one of the ones with you, we said we wouldn't like work on the food anymore as much, to more work on your relationship with yourself. So I've been trying to do that. So I don't do more than 5 minutes on the plan and the reviewing it and stuff, which is fine. I didn't mind that much actually when you told me not to do that. It was kind of like a bit of a burden to like not think about it and stuff. So it's quite nice. But like, with the kind of working on myself and stuff, I still have this belief system that it comes from outside, which I kind of keeps me stuck still sometimes.
What is the belief?
Like thinking you're worthy or lovable comes from like things outside of you, like other people. And
like I know tell me how it manifests. Give me a specific example.
So, like, if someone, like, classic in the CUNY, like, if someone gives you attention and I have thoughts, like, that means, like, you're good enough or something. Like, so if they're not, like, giving you attention or people aren't asking, like, say you don't get, like, a lot of messages one day or something, I'll start thinking, like, you're not lovable. Sorry?
Well, what if you just do this? What if when you do that, you just start saying, of course I would think that. Maybe they don't love me.
Like, sometimes I know, like, it comes up, like, I'm always having these habit thoughts. And then, like, I try to maybe avoid the situation.
But let's go there.
Okay.
Because you've coached on this. Is this the same person?
Yeah.
Okay, is this the trainer?
Yeah.
All right, let's just put up here. He's not into me. That's what you're thinking, right?
Yeah. Like sometimes
that's
I think
pretty much what you believe. I mean, let's just pretend for a minute he really isn't into you. He just wants you to be his personal training client and he indulges your texts and sometimes he's tired of it and all the things. Let's just, everything that you're thinking, it's all true now.
So then I have the question, and I know the answer actually. Like,
all right,
why not?
That's the question and give me the answer. I love it.
But why not? Like, why isn't he into me?
No, that's not question.
That's why I do ask myself, though. Like, ask, like,
yeah, you haven't accepted yet that he's just not, like, he's not into me.
Okay.
This totally means he's not into me.
Okay. And then
it's a question why he's not.
Okay.
Right? He's a dead end.
Yeah, okay.
Why do you care?
Because I want to know why not.
Because he thinks you're annoying.
Okay. I have like trouble accepting it for some reason.
Because you don't want to be considered annoying. Let's just say I'm just going to be an asshole. I'm going to put I'm a dude hat on. Especially a trainer dude.
Yeah, okay.
I work at a gym. How old am I?
40.
I'm 40. Am I like really good looking? I probably played sports in high school too.
Good looking. He's quite good at figuring people out and he knows to like how to get the most out of the clients. Like he figures
out. Like he's like, I know Permie. She will keep paying me. I'm a buff dude. I'm like 40. If I indulge with some texting, she'll never leave me. Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. But oh my God, that bitch is annoying. I only have to give her some texts. I don't even have to text her all the time. I can just keep her on the hook.
Okay.
Now what?
Like, I should, like, move on, let go of it?
Maybe. How long have you been working on random texts? Off and on.
Probably for a couple of years now. I think we're kind of in the same weird place. So every time I try to let go, I noticed as I have like fear of letting go.
What happens if you just let go of it and just like, he's never going to like me. He's always just going to want my money and want me to come and keep paying him. That's all he's ever going to want from me.
Then I don't know.
What's the worst thing that happens if you let go of it?
Like, I'd move on kind of thing. And
so, like, literally, what is the worst thing that happens other than you feel really like you don't have him to binge on anymore? It's going to be super uncomfortable.
I just get, like, whenever I try to, like, move on and, like, manage my mind and be, like, intentional, I get a lot of fear and scarcity. Like, I'll lose what I do have with him and I won't have that.
You don't have anything with him right now.
But we have
a That's the biggest problem you have is you think you have something. You have a fantasy.
Yeah.
You can have a fantasy. Like, if all you need is fantasy, then just keep being delusional that he's into you.
Okay. I don't really think he's into me anymore, but I feel like, I think we have like this kind of friendship or something.
Here's how we'll know.
Yeah.
Take a wild guess how we'll know if he's into you.
Like how you act and what he does?
No, we quit guessing and we just ask. Say, hey man, I really like you, like a lot. And for 2 years, I've been working with my life coach on getting brave enough to just be like, I would like you to just tell me what's in your mind so I can quit trying to read what's in your mind.
Yeah, I never do that.
All right, if you're not going to do that, then why bother? Like, either just be like, I have a fantasy that's never going to come to light, but I like my fantasy and I'll keep it, but I no longer do all this, like, pretending like I make it something mean about myself.
Yeah, I try not to make it mean anything about myself. I still do it some of the time. Then I get, like, a bit of the frustration and judgment comes in.
But the only reason why you're doing it is because you don't want to let go of the fantasy. It's really not about you.
Well, I always thought it was about me. Like, because I would have let go or something. I suppose it is, but like, I do need to accept that it's not going to happen. I should like let go of it.
This is what I would do. Do you want to spend another 2 years trying to figure this guy out?
No, I stopped trying to figure him out as much. Now I'm trying to just like accept him.
No, you're not. Otherwise, you would not get on this coaching call. Permi, well, you would never came on this call to talk about this if you were done thinking about him.
Well, I wanted to get like done seeking his attention because that's why I notice I still do. I used to want approval, so I don't do that as much anymore.
But you're going to get his approval now. The only approval you want is you're going to be my man.
It's not really that anymore. Like, I think I want sometimes to be approval, like, to be, like, the best client or he thinks I'm the best or something like that.
Well, why don't you just assume that he does? If you're going to assume you're not, you can just as easily assume. Like, here's the funniest thing about it. You're making all these assumptions. And it's like, if you're just going to sit there and make assumptions, I would just make assumptions that you're already his favorite. I'm already the best.
When I see them, like, interacting with other people, like, other clients, and I start thinking, no, you're not.
That's because they're terrible. They don't know how to work out like you do.
Right.
I mean, you get to tell the story however you want. The problem is you're arguing to feel inadequate. You're arguing to stay confused about it. You're arguing to do all this. You know what you're not doing? Deciding to be done with it because it has been a useful distraction for you for a long time. This is just like binging. You're hanging on to something that's painful for no reason.
Yeah, I do think you're kind of buffer with him, and I do the same kind of habits all the time with him. and like have the same kind of habitual thoughts, or I see something in the gym and I start thinking.
To quit snacking on him. He leads to binging on like being not feeling real good about yourself.
But I always feel like I get like, I try to make a bit of progress and I do, but then I somehow go back to it again, or like get caught in. Cause like, and then I have
this. Why do you go back to it? Why do you think you're going back to it?
Cause then I start thinking when I do, I get like really these fearful thoughts and scarcity thoughts that.
Like what? Like, give me one thought. I fear.
Like, we won't talk anymore. We won't be friends anymore. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So, like, I want you to just wait for a minute and listen to me. You want him in your life. You need to just tell him exactly how you want him in your life.
Okay.
This is the hard part. What you're doing over here, you think is preventing you from pain. Preventing you from being afraid. You're already afraid you're going to lose him. You're doing a lot of work around something that you can solve literally when you get off this call. You could text him and say, hey, what do you want? Do you want this man in your life? Yes or no?
We don't want to go out with him.
I want to go out with him. Like on dates?
Like sometimes I think I do. Because I've not had a boyfriend, so there's some parts of it I like when we interact, but I don't think I'd want to go out with him properly, like, because I know he likes to
flirt with all the time. It's a yes or no. I want to date him or I don't.
No. If I thought about it properly, I would say no.
Okay, so I don't want to date him. I want him in my life as a trainer.
Friend and trainer kind of thing.
And as a friend, what are you guys going to do? Give me two things that you guys would do as friends that's different than what you do now.
We don't hang out. We do talk and stuff on the phone.
But what in your mind, like if you're going to, what's his name?
Sean? Chom, S-H-O-M.
Sean. He's like Cavassier Smoke from Kentucky's Wildcats. All right, so Sean, we're going to be friends. And here are the things that we do, Sean. We do what? Give me one thing.
You'd like hang out then.
So how many times a week are we hanging out?
Maybe like once every couple of weeks.
Once a week, you and I, we're going to go hang out. And where are we going?
We go to like the local mall or something.
We're going to the mall, Sean. We're going to the mall once a week because we're friends. And how often are we like, what's our communication? Are we texting? Are we calling each other? What are we doing?
Well, we already text every day. And normally we get 3 or 4 phone calls a week already.
Okay. So do you need more?
No.
No more calls. All right. So the only thing that needs to change between you and Sean right now is we need to go to the mall once a week. And then we're friends. Right?
Yeah, I suppose. The thing is, because he says he won't hang out with the clients, but then he says he does call, but he says he doesn't normally call clients.
Then this is what I would do. I would say, Sean, I think we're friends. Because you call me, I don't think of myself as a client anymore. I think of us as friends. I'd like to go to the mall sometimes because that's what I do with my friends. You in or you out?
Okay.
And then like you let him tell you he's either your friend or he is just like lazy with his personal boundaries. One or the other.
Okay.
It's like, I don't do Facebook message with my clients. But do you Facebook message me every now and then?
Yeah.
And do I respond?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm lazy with my boundaries. Do I need to come over there and we need to go to the mall?
No. I'll come to you. But no.
It's how you think about it.
Yeah, I think
right now
about him because he's a bloke, like because he's a guy.
It's that is a thought. He's a guy. That's why I'm blocked. No, you're blocked because Sean might say, you know, I didn't mean to mislead you. I just, for some reason, we talk on the phone and I don't do that with other clients. I do that with you, but I don't like going to the mall and I don't want to be friends. Can we just kind of keep this more business? Like, that is the block. It is not because he's a dude. It's because of what you fear will happen. But you're already afraid it's going to happen. You're just doing it in a way that's wasted 2 years of your mental energy on it, rather than just asking a question and saying like, hey, I'm tired of trying to read your mind. I'm just going to tell you, this is what I would like. Like, and if, okay. And I would just say, like, and if you're not down with that, we can just keep doing what we've been doing. I don't care if we just keep talking and stuff. I just want to go to the mall now.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right about the block thing. I'm probably scared
to make it. Yeah, I don't think this is I think you keep trying to make this into like, I think you think you have big problems in self-worth and seeking external validation. You like to really overthink all of it. And it's like, could you just imagine if you just set this aside, you actually could work on self-worth. You could see if it actually comes up anywhere else. And if it does, work on it there.
No, this is only a kind of area that's mostly, I have this thing that I don't make progress, or it's always coming up in this area and I feel like I go back and forth a lot, or I don't figure out what way.
But you don't make progress in this. You've made no progress in this. You know how we know?
I'm still in the same place.
Yeah, you haven't asked Sean if he wants to go to the mall yet. You've never been honest with him.
I did try once to ask him and he said yes and then he backtracked.
Okay, you're going to have to try again. I wouldn't invite him to the mall, though. I would just say, like, let me be really clear about our friendship. I think when you call me, that means we're friends. I don't really want to date you, but would you like to go hang out at the mall? I know one time we'd made plans and they fell through. I'm just asking again, because that's what a friend would do. Okay. You can make it real light if you want to, or you can make it mean something about your self-worth and your purpose in the world and all this other stuff. And it's just like, I think you have to just kind of quit doing that so that you can really show yourself that you do care about yourself and that, you know, he's going to have an opinion. The best work on your self-worth will be when you actually have an opinion to do work on. Right now, you have all of your guesses, and that's why you're getting nowhere with it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like I feel like I think I knew partly that there was something like distracting me, or kind of like a buffer of some sort that I have. But then I thought, like, I think I make the being like not having a boyfriend thing before coming to the angle, and I thought that had a lot to do with that. That's why I always like went for his attention and stuff like that, because it's kind of like similar to what you would have if you had you were in a relationship, but it's not really, because we don't have anything. So it's a bit like, so that's why I think I used to get like a bit posed up and entangled in it, because part of me wants certain parts of it but doesn't want other parts of it.
Well, here's the thing, it is way easier to sit there and fantasize about what's going on than it is to send him a text with your truth.
Yeah.
Truth is always way harder than lies.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so many of us don't choose the truth.
Yeah. But I think I know as well, partly, and that's probably why I avoid it too.
Yeah.
Down.
I would just be like, you know what? He's probably not into me. If it's been 2 years and nothing's really happening, I just need to like decide he is not into me. And I would be curious, if I wasn't spending my mental energy worrying about his thoughts and thinking about his thoughts and stuff, what am I avoiding working on? What in my life am I not pursuing? Because I have this to distract me and to buffer with. And that's one of those things that I would just write about. Imagine no texting, no calling, no thinking about him. Like, what else would I be doing? And sometimes we keep stuff because we're like, I don't know what I would be doing. I've set my life up to just be worried about this all the time, that I'm not getting out there and doing other scary things.
Yeah, I think
you know?
Yeah, I think I would like go look for other things more then, or eventually I would start looking for them if I like went for like a period of no texting or messaging at all.
You'd have to go find more people to not like you. Just telling you, as someone who finds people every day on the internet who doesn't like me, it's not that bad.
Okay.
Eventually you just get numb to the haters.
Get thick skin.
All right. That's a good call. You let me know when you do this. I wanna know.
Okay. I was like worked up towards. I would do it right now or anything if I will. Like
you've got till Friday.
Oh, deadline.
Yes, you have until Friday. Yeah, well, I'll give you till Saturday because on Sunday I'm going to Brendon Burchard's High Performance Planning and I won't be online.
I wasn't sure if you were at the thing that was on. Well, I saw something on like Instagram. He was doing something.
Oh, he was Rachel Hollis's Rise Business.
So I was like, was that the thing they went to? So I was wondering if you and Kathy had gone to that thing.
Yeah,
that
we're going to the certification. We're getting certified as high performance coaches.
That'd be cool.
I'm like to be like double certified, y'all. Just saying.
Certified squared.
Educated right here.
That'd be cool. That's good. Like, I like listening to his stuff, so he's always helpful, I think.
Oh, yeah. I love him. So, it'll be good. It'll be good for the tribe for me to have, like, a blend of both things. So,
yeah.
All right. That's Saturday. I expect to see results.
Saturday's been with him, so that's quite funny you said Saturday.
Do what?
Saturday's, like, my training slot with him. Every week's a Saturday.
So I would do it before Saturday so that when you show up, you can be a baller. Just be like, either you're going to the mall when y'all are done, or y'all aren't going to the mall and you're just like, Teflon right here. Psh, didn't even care. Let's have a workout. Watch me sweat.
Okay, cool.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye.
All right, queens. That was a fun fucking call. I'm just going to tell you right now. I enjoyed y'all today. I have enjoyed coaching all day today. So y'all have a good one. And I tell you what, if you asked a question, if you will pop it into the Queen's Club, here is what I will do. Me and Kathy Hartman and Betsy will all, I don't know why I always call her Kathy Hartman, like, you know, but anyway, I never call it Betsy Kimbrell. We'll get over there and we will answer those questions in the next couple days. So if you want to just pop your questions over there, we'll do that for you guys. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.